Dave and Darren. It's time for the top five things, a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear weekdays on Planet 93.9. This is kind of like us showing our work, right?
Yep.
This is the best that we could do. The top five things. And the podcast is brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg, and they are both now open 7 days a week. And now you can order items online from both locations, Galesburg and Milan, through Leafly. You'll find that if you go to the website, ntillinois.com.
Let's just do this.
Number one.
Number one.
Have you been following this story of the dude that got a pig heart?
I had heard about it. How's he doing?
Well, he's still around. David Bennett.
Is he out of the hospital?
No. I don't think this guy's going to leave the hospital.
Oh, he doesn't get to leave the hospital.
He was in a bad way. And a week ago, David Bennett became the first person ever to have a heart transplanted successfully into him from a pig.
Now, why didn't he get a human transplant? Was it willing to pay for that?
I think that...
What's the pig heart go for? Let's take a look at this. If you could get me into the pig heart at that price. I like that. Yeah, no, I like that price point. Yeah, let's just go ahead and do that. What do you say you've never done this before?
I think the thing is that his health was so bad that to give him a human heart would have been a waste. This guy was in such dire straits.
So they still think he was...
His medical records were so bad.
His prognosis is not good.
Right. And it was, listen.
This is not going to work.
Right.
You're still not going to last long.
Well, we don't know.
Let's just go ahead and see if this pig heart does anything.
We just don't know how long he's going to last. Remember, was it Barney Clark when years ago that got the first... the Jarvik 7, the artificial heart.
Yeah, but that was just being hooked up to a machine.
Right.
You can't really, like, you know.
This is a medical first.
Go walking with that thing.
And, you know, I guess his attitude was, go ahead and give me the pig heart, and if it doesn't work, then you'll have information that you didn't have before, and maybe that'll help, you know, in the scheme of things, the rest of humanity.
And maybe, just maybe.
Yeah.
It'll make me a superhero. I'll have super pig powers.
Is it terrible that the first thing
they're
I
calling
of...
me Porkenstein? Okay. All right, that's enough. Enough with the Porkenstein.
You come out of surgery with the pig heart, right? And you're still alive, and you wake up, and you're like, "Oh my gosh,
I got a pig heart!
I got the pig heart going on." How long would it take you before you would have a piece of bacon? Would you feel different
right
about
away.
Bacon?
I would too.
I would too. You got to show that heart who's
I'm
boss.
Thankful I can have bacon. Pigs eat each other, don't they?
I'm not sure.
I mean, come on.
Probably. He is, again, still recovering. He just had this procedure done last Friday. It's too soon to know how he's going to end up doing.
Yeah, I saw a picture of the guy. It looked okay.
This heart was grown in the pig specifically. It's not like they just went to a butcher and said, "Hey, give us what do you got?"
Can't do that.
No, this was a pig that was bred and designed genetically specifically for this. He was ineligible for a human heart transplant because his heart was just, you know, he's just in terrible health.
The idea was we are not going to waste a human heart.
I mean, you say it like that, but that's exactly the case,
yes.
Right? I mean, it's a cold thing to say.
This is tough news for you to take,
right,
but
no.
It's just not worth it.
If we have a transplant that we know will definitely extend someone's life, they're higher on the list than you.
Right.
For you, the pig heart would be good. This happened in a hospital in Maryland, the University of Maryland Medical Center. And for the last couple of days, it's been a real feel-good story.
Until
we find out that this guy has a criminal background.
Oh, boy.
Stabbed a guy 17 times.
Mm.
Back in 1988, he stabbed this guy. The family of the victim, who ended up dying not immediately, but was paralyzed as a result of the attack, spent 19 years in a wheelchair, then had a stroke in 05 and died in 07, 1 week before his 41st birthday.
I feel bad for the pig.
The family of the man who was stabbed again 17 times, they were reading the story about this guy getting the heart transplant, and at first they thought, well, that's terrific. There's a news article about this 57-year-old man with a terminal heart disease, and it's the first of its kind transplant. I mean, this is history, saving the man's life and maybe saving a lot more lives. And this woman, Leslie Downey, says she read the headline and thought, what a breakthrough for science. And then her daughter texted her saying,
you know who that is, right?
Mom, you know who that is? It's David Bennett Sr. That is the guy who stabbed your brother 7 times, leaving him paralyzed. Edmund Shoemaker was the victim's name. The family says that Ed suffered the devastation and the trauma for years and years that my family had to deal with. And then even after this Bennett got out of prison, she said he went on and lived a good life. And now he gets a second chance with a new heart. But I wish, in my opinion, it had gone to a deserving patient. There are more than 106,000 Americans on the national waiting list for an organ transplant. 17 people die every day in this country because they don't get the organ that they need. But, you know, doctors will tell you, just because somebody has a criminal history, our job is to save lives. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't take into account, is it a good dude or not? The key principle of medicine is if somebody is sick, it doesn't matter who they are, you have to treat them. You know? Crime is a legal matter. It has nothing to do with medicine. So there are people saying, why would you give this heart to this guy when he was somebody who stabbed someone 17 times? But also keep in mind, they weren't entirely sure the pig heart was going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an experiment that's going on. And maybe in some weird small way, this guy is able to help his fellow man. I don't know. It doesn't cancel out what he's done. But also, he did his time, right? I don't know. The whole ethics of it, I think, is one story. But the idea that a pig that's undergone gene editing... There's a sugar in pig cells that our body rejects normally. And they figured out a way to remove that sugar from pig cells so that we can start using, you know, their delicious organs. If you were to get an organ transplanted from another animal,
mm-hmm.
you could pick any animal.
Horse.
And what organ would you want?
I'd rather not say.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
Ruffles.
Number two.
When I say Las Vegas, meteorologist Andrew
Stutsky.
Stutsky is in Vegas right now.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. No, he's posting pictures on Twitter.
But he's got to be back by, what, Sunday morning? Sunday morning.
I think that's what he
probably
said.
Probably Saturday night. Yeah. He's got to work on Sunday.
We'll find out how he found Vegas when we talk to him next week.
Turn left at Albuquerque.
I'm just gonna say Las Vegas, and I want you to just kind of freeform for me, do some word association. What are things that you think of when Vegas comes to mind?
Bright lights.
Bright lights.
Gambling.
You want me to be Santa Claus.
Buffets.
Yeah, of course.
Shows.
Well, what kind of shows? I like where this is going. Let's circle back to shows.
All kinds of different shows.
Sure. You got your Cirque du Soleil.
Exactly.
You might expect to maybe see an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, or just impersonators in general.
Right. But going back to the Elvis impersonators.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's no longer a thing.
They don't do that, huh?
No, I'm reading here from the Vegas Press.
That is this like the first time in forever that there isn't one?
Yes. The King's Day of Reckoning has arrived in Las Vegas, writes the Press Las Vegas.
The last Elvis impersonator is gone.
There is no longer any Elvis Presley tribute on the strip.
Anywhere.
And at the moment, none at all anywhere in the city of Las Vegas.
And no one's looking to get one, huh?
All shook up. The lone Las Vegas production themed for Elvis has hauled out of the theater at Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood. A saga that unfolded over the weekend, which coincided with Elvis's 87th birthday on Saturday. Presley has been consistently depicted on the strip in a ticketed production show since at least 1978, a year after his death. In those days, the late Johnny Hurrah portrayed Elvis at the Silver Bird Hotel and Casino.
Silver Bird?
Formerly the Thunderbird, and later El Rancho. Elvis,
not the best,
has also rotated into the Legends in Concert
show.
Sure,
absolutely.
Which then debuted at the then Imperial Palace in 1983. But the King is not in the new Legendary Divas lineup, making its debut February 2nd at the Tropicana. Aside from its pandemic shutdown in 2020, All Shook Up has run consistently since January of 2014. But the show won't be down for long. In fact, it will reopen.
Okay.
On January 20th at the Pegasus Showroom. Showtimes, 6 p.m. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. But as of now, right now, no Elvis impersonators performing.
But he's coming back.
Well, eventually. According to Pete Valley, who goes by the name Big Elvis, He does a no-cover afternoon show at a piano bar at Harrah's. And he says, it's nuts. I never thought I'd see this day. There's two different alternating Elvises in All Shook Up. It was the lone Presley production anywhere in Vegas when it halted its performances. You can't find an Elvis show anywhere. And they say, the part of it is, people that go to Vegas just don't care about Elvis anymore.
Well,
that this is not a thing that, you know, resonates. That Elvis has had his time, and it's over with. That people just aren't going to Vegas to see an Elvis impersonator.
Even if you comp them?
Appetite for large-scale Presley shows has been waning for years. One producer telling Press Las Vegas here, Elvis just isn't a big show anymore. The days of Trent Carlini's Dream King are gone.
You don't have to tell me.
Trent Carlini's Dream King? I guess that was a tribute show that took place years and years ago at the Las Vegas Hilton. Oh, I bet that was something else. Can we get a little bit of Trent Carlini, the Dream King? Oh, yeah. This'll work. How many of the people in this crowd are allowing themselves to believe that it's actually Elvis?
All of them.
It's 100%, right? Like, after the show, you say, oh, he was so good.
First time ever in Defiance, Ohio, Trent Carlini starring in The King, winner of ABC's The Next Best Thing. Don't miss his Las Vegas production at the Defiance Auditorium Theater, January 11th.
He's in the building! Put your hands together for Heartbreak Elvis!
Well, since my baby left me, but I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's not at the end of Lonely Street, Heartbreak Elvis.
Okay, this guy should be a Billy Ray Cyrus impersonator.
I think he's making up his own words.
What? Legendary performance. Apparently, Trent Carlini no longer performing, as he died in 2019 from a stroke at the age of 57.
When I worked up at Rockford,
yeah,
it would have been right around this time of year because it was right with Elvis's birthday.
Uh-huh.
I had to take a bus trip. I hosted a bus trip.
Because you were working at an oldie station at the time, yeah?
I hosted a bus trip to Milwaukee.
Oh, no.
To the Riverside Theater.
Oh, no.
For a Elvis impersonation festival
or show.
Well, it was just, you know, that evening, that night. but it was three different Elvis impersonators, including his original drummer, DJ Fontana.
Wow.
But it was Elvis in a variety of different periods.
Sean Clush is said to be the best Elvis impersonator these days. Mm. You want to hear a little bit of Sean Clush doing his tribute to the king? Here he is doing his version of Poke Salad Annie. This is all. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm all in on this guy already. I am all in. If he's doing Poke Salad Annie,
yeah,
I'm all in already on this guy. I'm sold.
Uh-oh.
Someone in the crowd just went, uh-oh. He's doing Poke Salad Annie.
This is going to happen.
Oh, we weren't ready for this.
We'll get him running.
It's like Carl Lewis. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. How many times is she gonna say, oh?
They won't stop saying it.
Boy, he's tired and sweaty like Elvis,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
Very committed.
Rip your tongue out by the root.
Some of y'all never know sound too much. I'm gonna tell you this story so you understand what I'm talking about. Down there a planet who's out in the woods in the field. Is that all I gotta do? There's a planet who's out in the woods in the field. Everybody calls it Pope Salad.
Okay. All right, that's enough. I don't know. He hit me and then he lost me.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh! We were not ready for you to do this song! Uh-oh!
Someone's gonna get their money's worth.
Uh-oh! But yeah, Sean Clush said to be the greatest of all the Elvis impersonators.
Gotcha.
When he's not on stage, he speaks with Elvis's unmistakable drawl. Oh,
so he just never loses it.
Yeah, this is a guy from Pennsylvania who for some reason talks like he's from Tupelo. Even when he's not on stage, he was asked what it's like to become, not just impersonate, the king of rock and roll. And Sean said, Elvis was always playing in the house. He was my dad's idol, and I got bit by that bug real early. I remember being 3 years old singing Elvis. My first performance was at a school function. Oh, boy. Who does this remind you of?
The original Elvis impersonator.
Raji.
It was called a Share the Fun contest. I ended up losing to some other kid. Thank you very much.
Who did Larry lose to in Share the Fun?
Wasn't it presented by Goodyear?
Goodyear tired of a thing called Share the Fun. And they had these regional competitions all across the state of Illinois for the Illinois State Fair.
Yeah.
And Larry, when he was very young, was doing an Elvis impersonation bit.
Even though he looked like a little Hank Williams.
And he wasn't even 10 years old.
No,
right?
He was. It doesn't add up. I mean, it was before Elvis was even famous. Somehow he was impersonating him. He was the original Elvis impersonator.
Is it possible that Elvis is an Amazing Larry impersonator?
Tell you right now, Boss Hogg gonna boycott my birthday down in Springfield.
Up in Springfield.
Tell you what, Daddy, I'm your problem child.
Kind of works.
Raji.
Hey, man. This is Elvis Presley with a public service announcement. For all of you that don't feel like doing that Great American Smokeout, I say smoke all the cigarettes you want. Because these bar owners are hurting. People are having the rights taken away, and we got to do like we did back in the 70s and protest. Because people have had enough. People are mad. Because what's next?
Back to Sean, who says, my first performance was... I can't do it as the Elvis voice anymore. It's driving me nuts. My first performance was at a school function. I didn't think I was going to make it. Walking in a dark room and not knowing what's there. It was one song, Edge of Reality. and it went over huge.
Edge of reality. Why don't you play a song people know? No wonder you were concerned. You're doing original material as an Elvis impersonator. How about you just do something like Hound Dog? I don't know. Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah, go out there and do Hound Dog, stupid.
Don't be cruel, something.
Edge of reality.
I'm going to do Edge of Reality. What? What?
Do It's Only Make-Believe before you do Edge of Reality.
Hey, man, I'm going to take you on a psychedelic trip.
I'm 3 years old.
Welcome to school function, everybody. There's a deep cut that not a lot of Elvis fans even know about. It's called Edge of Reality, and it goes a little something like this.
I'm three
years old. Ready to take you all on a psychedelic journey of the mind, as only Elvis could.
I might start singing in tongues here real quick.
Careful with that axe, Eugene. Any of you into the album Animals by Pink Floyd? I always wonder what it would sound like if Elvis was to sing Pink Floyd. And here you go. It sounds a little something like this. One of these days, I'm going to grind you into pieces. Had a girl come up to my room, and she said, Elvis, are all these your guitars? I'll tell you what, man. Once time I had a fever, man, my hands felt just like two balloons.
That's kind of work. Gosh, could we do Elvis Floyd? That could be a thing. Sean says, I performed in the Poconos before going on tour in Canada, where I won a competition in Montreal. Soon after that, I started performing across the country, including on the very Vegas stage where Elvis played. I'm a lucky guy. I got real lucky to be able to do this.
I used to rip my mom's teeth out by the root.
I'll tell you what I got in my rider. I got to have a pack of Pepsi every day. Or I don't play. And I got a slot machine in my room. And I got a goldfish that can predict earthquakes.
Named Little Dave Lavora.
Wait, was the goldfish named Little Dave Lavora?
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember that.
And he had a monkey called Little Casino Rock Island.
Right. I forgot about the monkey. Then the monkey didn't last as long as the...
No, we don't need to talk about the monkey.
We don't need that. We don't need that kind of mishigosh.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take you on a trip now to the dark side of the moon.
3 years old.
I'm 3. Gonna freak your mind out. Uh-huh. So you...
It doesn't work. I thought Elvis doing...
Elvis Floyd?
Floyd would work. Maybe that's not the best one to do. Maybe Shine On You Crazy Diamond would work better. That song could very well be about Elvis, for all we know.
Comfortably Numb should work.
Comfortably Numb would work.
I mean, good God. That was the guy's whole racket.
When I was a child, I had a fever, man.
Packed full of white fecal matter, man. Last thing I'm worrying about is my hands feeling like balloons.
What was his mom's name? Gladys?
Who?
Elvis. What was Elvis's mom's name?
Might as well be.
Was it Gladys? Because when she was buried at...
Graceland
first, right? Was it... What was his mom's name? Help me out here. It's not Gladys. What the hell was his name? Mavis? Was it Mavis?
No, Avis. That's Larry's mom.
See, I get everybody confused.
Avis, do you think they'll drop the bomb? So, yeah. Thought you might like to go to the show.
Comp him.
He's just doing Elvis... Elvis Floyd is a thing, man. That's got to be
sure
a thing.
I'm sure it is.
There's the Dred Zeppelin, right? Where they do Elvis doing Zeppelin and a
Elvis
rock A beat.
Floyd?
There's got to be somebody doing an Elvis Floyd. Yeah. Elvis's mother was indeed named Gladys.
Well, there you go. Nailed
Gladys. Gladys, do you think they'll drop the ball?
Number three.
Dude in South Dakota's in some trouble for accidentally dosing a bunch of senior citizens at a community center card game.
Did I do that?
73-year-old South Dakota woman was unaware that her son had prepared baked goods with THC butter. According to a probable cause affidavit, police dispatchers received several calls of possible poisoning of individuals at the Tabor Community Center for a card game. Tabor is southwest of Sioux Falls, like about an hour and a half.
This game is taking forever. What are the rules again?
Oh, no, my eyes are turning bloodshot. I'm going on a trip. I look like I'm doped out of my gourd. That's a side effect of the marijuana poisoning.
Yeah, that's right.
The deputy sheriff writes here in his report, an investigation into the incident led me to believe that the patients were all under the influence of THC from a batch of brownies that were brought to the community center by Irene Caranda.
Come on, Irene.
This was the weekly Tuesday night card game, and they had to call the cops after several people had eaten the brownies, and then they learned that the Irene's son had made the brownies and had been in Colorado over the past weekend and brought back products with marijuana. During a police interview, Irene said that her son Michael, who's 46, had baked a pan of brownies, and she took them to the community center card game, unaware.
This should be fine.
That the sweets contained THC. I want you to take a look at this guy's mugshot.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he's baking anything without THC in it?
No. Oh, I am just
I'm a little stinker.
I'm a stinker, aren't I?
Like, know your kids, man. Especially your 46-year-old kids that are baking brownies at your house.
I am just a...
She took them to the card game at the community center, unaware that the sweets contained THC, the psychoactive substance in cannabis that gives it its zing. She unwillingly gave the sheriff the remainder of the brownies in a plastic container. It's worth pointing out that this guy, a 46-year-old... is an elementary school music teacher. And he told deputies that he did, in fact, prepare the pot brownies with THC butter that he brought back from Colorado.
You want these?
Mm-hmm. He went to bed, and his mother unknowingly took the brownies to the card game. What time are you going to bed, bro?
I don't sleep a lot.
Tabor, South Dakota is population 423. So he was arrested for possession of a controlled drug or substance that is a felony carrying a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. He is free on $3,000 bond here, and he's going to be going to court on the 25th of this month. I just don't know. I just don't know. What you have to assume, if this is your kid, that he's making pot brownies, like... all the time.
Look at him.
Smoke weed every day.
Well, I've done it again. I'm going to bed, Ma. All right. I'm going to bring something to the community card game. Yeah, whatever. You don't say, hey, Ma, the brownies here. Don't touch the brownies, all right?
Whatever you do.
Yeah. So then they went to this guy's house and retrieved the remaining half pound of THC butter.
Half pound?
A half pound of THC butter was placed into evidence. We were playing Uno the other day at my house.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, the wife, and the boy. And we screwed up the rules.
Huh.
And I had a feeling something was wrong.
Three-person Uno.
Yeah. The game was taking forever. And it got to the point where all three of us were getting mad that the game wouldn't end.
Oh, they were so mad?
And then my wife took a pen and was drawing on the back of an envelope a beach scene.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm drawing a beach because I want to pretend that I'm there and not here right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's just quit the game.
That's when I said, you know, there's no law that says we have to finish this game.
No, as a matter of fact, we can all be very satisfied with the agreement. It's over.
That we have, exactly. I said, this doesn't have to ruin the night. We can just stop.
Was someone winning? Could
no.
you tell?
Well, but the problem is we screwed up because the way that they were playing, and I guess I went along with it, was if you can't make a match with your Uno cards, that's the end of your turn.
Mm.
But the way we were playing was you keep taking cards until you get a match.
Oh.
So there would be times where, like, you would have, like, two cards left.
Drawing
and then you couldn't make a match. And then you would have to take, like, 11 cards into your hand.
Drawing a beach scene.
What are you doing?
What was in the beach scene?
It was just like the sun.
Yeah.
And then
the water.
And the water. There were waves. And then there was a palm tree.
Uh-huh.
And I go, why are you doing that? She's like, I would like to be here and not in this kitchen with you two right now. just taking a little.
Okay, well, then that's it.
Right. If you're going to take escape, we'll just be done playing
Uno.
You know
what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that envelope of yours, tear it in half, and the game's over.
How about this?
And Owen's like, yes.
I'm going to draw a picture. There I am, married to somebody who knows how the game of Uno is played. How about that? How do you like my little drawing? That's me.
What is that? What is this picture of? It's me walking down the aisle with someone carrying an Uno board game that knows how to play it.
And she understands the rules.
How about that? She knows the rules. She took the time to actually read the rules. Do you see how she's carrying an Uno board game?
We've played Uno a million times in the house, but it had been years.
You forgot.
So then we're playing it, and I'm thinking, well, this is great. This is just like old times. Three of us sitting here playing Uno.
Yeah.
I'm knocking it out of the park.
Let's appreciate this moment.
What a great family togetherness this is.
Exactly.
And then meanwhile,
next thing you know, this one's drawing
an escape plan. I'm going to live on the beach, and these two and their cards are not going to hurt me anymore.
They can't hurt me anymore. And now I'm going to draw a nice big drink.
Right.
Oh, look, it looks like someone's handing me a drink. This must be from the perspective of me sitting in a chair. And someone has just brought me a nice big drink.
Oh, we can't.
That's funny.
You're escaping through your doodles?
Yeah, I'm the one sitting. It's from my perspective.
Uh-huh. Why are you drawing that? I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be there. I hate this game so much. Mm. Okay.
Well, maybe next time we'll play by the real rules.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I looked it up, and I texted her the next day, because this was on a Sunday. And I texted her on Monday. I said, we weren't playing even close to right. The rules were wrong. You're just supposed to, if you can't go, you just skip your turn.
She texted me a photo of a beach again.
And then I suggested a couple of nights later, I said,
Let's play it right this time.
That we understand the rules of Uno.
Let's try it correctly.
Should we give that another chance? And the look I got, you would have thought exactly.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah.
Way too soon.
Yeah, exactly. So probably there won't be any Uno.
Give it a
not in 22. Maybe that's more of a 23 card game.
Yeah, give it a break. I wouldn't suggest any games for a while.
You know what? Then we played Boggle and everybody had a great time.
Oh, well,
but
good.
That was because I read the rules.
Way to bounce back.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to have family game night ruined just because we're all miserable.
That's not going to stop me.
Listen, we're going to...
I don't care how miserable you people are. Family game night's going to happen.
By God.
One way or the other. By hook or by crook.
Number four. The national championship the other night with Georgia beating Alabama. Got me thinking about the time I was stuck in Georgia for a couple of days and then snuck my way out of the South through Alabama. I've only been to Alabama once, and it was in 1992, 93? Would have been 93.
And truth be told, yeah. You were trying to get out of it as quick as you could.
Yeah, no. You know, look, it was great, but there were parts on the way home that we were making our way because we were stuck in the South. We went down to spring break in Daytona, and we went the week before MTV was there. So we were there for Biker Week. It was just an absolutely stupid time to go to Daytona.
I was the prettiest boy there.
There was one night we went to Denny's because my buddy who was turning 21 down in Daytona, he was very excited.
Free meal?
To get the free meal at Denny's.
Well, boy, I tell you what, you kids are some hellraisers.
Well, speaking of hellraisers, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We're at the Denny's there in Daytona Beach, and it's me, a couple of my friends, and then, you know, all of the bikers from all over America are assembled.
Sure.
And this one fella came up to us, and he was like, "Spring breakers, huh?" Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we're down here for spring break. "Well, welcome to Daytona. Tell you right now, down here, we party 24/7. I'm like, "Oh, good to know." And he goes, "And then you know what happens?"
"Then what?"
"Then the clock stops." And he walked away. And to this day, I have no idea what that means. Mm. "We party 24/7, and then the clock stops." What? Huh? As we were making our way, because we were stuck, they got in an inch and a half of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks are talented at a lot of things, but not snow removal. In the state of Georgia, at least in the mid-90s, early mid-90s, they only had 2 snow plows. I don't know if that's changed. We ended up having to spend a couple of nights in a gymnasium floor in Ackworth, Georgia. We then, against the advice of the Georgia State Patrol, made our way south and then came up through Alabama to get home because after sleeping on a gym floor for a couple of days, it's time to move. We had to take back roads because the interstates were all shut down. And at one point, we were on this uphill stretch in Alabama in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
And there was a semi-truck that had kind of gotten stuck, and we were out helping negotiate traffic and trying to see what we could do to help this semi-truck driver that was stuck. And he wanted to spend the entire time regaling us with tales of how incredibly horny he was because he was explaining to us that he hadn't been home in 4 days.
Wow.
And when he got home, boy, was his wife going to get it. And he just kept going on and on and on.
Everyone's wife is going to get it.
The things he was going to do to his wife when he got home. And the more I think about it now as an adult, like even more of an adult, I almost wonder if he got into trouble on the road on purpose so he could tell strangers about how much he wanted to make love to his wife. It was bizarre. It was all he wanted to talk about. Alabama is a fascinating state. Now, it doesn't get the attention of Florida, right? I mean,
Florida.
Here's what I know. Roll Damn Tide and people come from Alabama with banjos on their knees. That's all I know. This story is from Mobile, Alabama, where the cops pulled over a 60-year-old man who thought it would be a good idea to steal a set of stadium bleachers with his car. You know, like when you go to like a kid's diamond and they've got the aluminum bleacher set up?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take 2 rows of those.
Took the whole bleachers.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Michael McClellan accused of taking bleachers from a park in the middle of the day.
You know what would look good in my backyard? Or my front yard, for that matter.
Stadium seating.
Uh-huh, stadium seating.
You know what this calls for? Bleachers.
Now, but having said that, wouldn't you have loved to have had bleachers when you were doing the silver bullets? When you were doing your...
Yeah, I suppose that would have been.
Your dunk team?
That would have been pretty dope.
We begin tonight with a bizarre theft. You are looking at a set of bleachers stolen from a city park, being dragged right down the road there in the middle of the day.
Well, it not only caught the attention of Mobile police, but also landed a guy in jail. Fox News' Lee Pegg joining us here in studio with more.
All right, so Lee, this is not your everyday crime.
How not do you know your everyday Lee? Crime. No, it's certainly
not. I know Lee from Starbucks.
We've seen people haul a lot of things with their cars, lawnmowers, recliners, even couches. But bleachers, this is a first, even MPD calling this one strange.
The picture tells the story. That's a set of stadium bleachers actually tied to that sedan being dragged down the road. According to Mobile Police, it's a theft in progress, and there was no trying to be covert about it. It all happened during the middle of the day. After seeing it scrape down the road, an officer pulled over the driver around 12:30 yesterday afternoon. 60-year-old Michael McClellan arrested and booked into Metro Jail about 45 minutes later. We're told those bleachers, stolen from Lions Park.
All things considered, he made it pretty far, about a mile and a half here on Dr. Martin Luther King Avenue, just across the street from Catholic Cemetery. Of course, when that officer pulled him over, he had a lot of questions.
Like, where are you going with those bleachers? What are you thinking? Did you really think no one would notice? You couldn't borrow a truck or trailer? All questions we still don't know the answers to. However, those bleachers...
Wait a minute, you couldn't borrow a truck or trailer to help you steal these things?
Did the cop really say to him there were better ways of stealing the bleachers? It seems to me this reporter's taking some liberties with what happened.
He's now back at Lions Park where they belong, sitting...
Then the cop told him about how he hadn't been home in 4 days and wanted to make love to his wife.
Next to another set that could have easily fit on the roof of the car.
Tonight, why didn't you take those?
There were smaller bleachers. You could have taken those. Why the big bleachers?
And remains in Metro, charged with theft of property, first degree.
This one definitely a talker. McClellan has a bond hearing set for tomorrow morning.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know.
Well, I figured if I do it just in front of everyone, it's not a crime.
Dragging the bleachers for a mile and a half in Mobile, Alabama. That's
I mean, if I admit it's a crime, I don't get in trouble for that, right?
Bleachers that could accommodate...
What kind of sparking was going on, Annie? People are dragging couches? That's kind of a normal thing that goes on?
In Mobile, Alabama, I'm certain that that's a thing.
Without wheels. They don't even attempt to put wheels on the couch?
Yeah.
They
in Mobile, Alabama, I'm going to go ahead and guess that that happens all the time. We've seen people drag dead mules from the back of their car here in Mobile. And couches and Confederate statues. But bleachers? When they're smaller bleachers, it would have fit on the roof of his sedan.
Why not a truck or a trailer?
Five.
Number five.
Anheuser-Busch doing the old Willy Wonka bit with a new sweepstakes. They have put 10,000 golden cans of beer in specially marked packs across these United States. And when you find a golden can, you're eligible to win $1 million grand prize.
Who's doing this?
Budweiser. Anheuser-Busch. There are actually two ways to win the sweepstakes, and this is where it gets very confusing. You can find a random golden Budweiser can.
Or take it from someone.
Or you can go to the Budweiser website and print a golden can, wrap the image around a regular can, and take a picture of that. Either way, you're entered to win $1 million.
Okay.
You have to post a picture of the can on your social media in order to enter and tag Budweiser.
And that includes if you find one.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if you're putting 10,000 golden cans out there, and I think what they're going to deal with, just knowing people and knowing how contests work, they're going to deal with people who are going to hunt for golden cans of Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a golden can, and they're going to assume that they get their own brewery or something. Like Peter, you know, in Family Guy. Or they're going to assume if you find a golden can that it's worth $1 million.
Or no, like Willy Wonka, the factory's mine now.
Right.
I call the shots.
Right. Wasn't it on Family Guy that they had a Willy Wonka that was running the Patriot Brew, and then Peter won the brewery?
I think that's correct.
Taking from Willy Wonka. So if you find a can, or if you just print one off and take a picture of it, it's the same. two ways to enter the sweepstakes. Then why not just say go to the website and print one off? Like, to put the golden cans in the specially marked bags.
I mean, plenty of people are going to be drinking Budweiser beer.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll find one.
Well, if they're doing 10,000 golden cans, the can is probably going to be worth more just to collectors than anything else, right? People who collect Budweiser cans.
10,000 isn't that rare.
No. Well, 10,000 out of how many millions of cans are they going to put on store shelves between now and this contest began this week and goes up until February 20th. The winner will be notified after a random drawing of all entries on February 21st. The odds of winning depend on how many entries are received, you see. So right now you got a pretty good chance of winning. It says, live like a king, win $1 million. But I'm telling you, people are going to find these golden cans and they're going to assume that they've won something. What you've won is the opportunity to enter a sweepstakes. And you have the same chance as somebody who printed off a label and wrapped it around a regular can of Budweiser. I'm just going to predict right now with a fair amount of certainty, this is going to cause problems. There are going to be people that find these cans and quit their jobs. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, knowing how well people are like, how well people pay attention to facts. Right. The fact that people are only going to hear what they want to hear. They're going to find a golden ticket. They're going to quit their job. And then they're going to sue Budweiser saying, well, wait a minute. You made it me feel like I won $1 million. When you didn't. The golden can.
You made me feel brand new.
You made me feel like a whore. What? Everclear. The contest, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, what they want is for us to talk about the
mission accomplished. Congratulations, sir.
Hashtag live like a king. Hashtag sweepstakes. So, I mean, we're doing that. We're talking about it. But I'm telling you, 10,000 cans, they're also going to deal with at least 100 lawsuits. People saying, you made it sound like I won something. The idea of finding a golden can, I mean, we've been trained that if there's a golden something out there to find, that means you've won. And people are going to think that they've won, like, the St. Louis Brewery.
Here's a key for you.
Exactly. You open up the can of Budweiser and it says,
this is for you.
That wouldn't be bad.
That'd be neat.
It would be neat. Would you be mad if you opened up a can of beer and it had a little audio message when you opened it up?
I wonder if it had like a different audio message depending on how many beers you've had.
So it's deep enough in the pack that when you open it up, it says, like, I mean, if they have birthday cards that could sing and dance.
Slow
and talk
down,
to you,
champ.
Yeah. These beers were supposed to last till Tuesday.
I hope you don't think you're driving.
That would be pretty great. You can go to their website and print a golden can, wrap the image of it around a can.
And then I can win $1 million, you say.
You'll be entered to win $1 million. Okay. How about that? Print your gold for a shot at $1 million. And then you got, of course, put it all up on the... okay, so here, I'm printing this off. This is just a picture of a... I figured it was going to look like an actual label. This is just a picture of what a golden can looks like. So you're just supposed to post that somewhere, and then
just cut that out and then hold that.
Yeah. It's like a flat Stanley, but it's a golden Budweiser can.
Good looking can.
Live like a king. Your chance at $1 million is here. I get it, because they're the king of beers. I get it. I like a lot of this, but I'm telling you, somebody should have raised their hands and said that this is going to be more headaches than it's worth. I'm telling you, this is going to end soon with somebody getting the can of Budweiser and assuming they've won $1 million. There are still people that think if you get a Tootsie Pop and the rapper has an Indian shooting a star with a Native American shooting a star with a bow and arrow, that you can redeem that for a free Tootsie Pop. That's never been the case. That's apocryphal.
And it's on every wrapper.
It's pretty common, yeah.
It's Boy, I haven't had one of those in a while.
A Tootsie Pop?
No.
They're the greatest.
No, I haven't had that.
Now that you mention it, though, I haven't had one in quite some time either. Let me ask you this. If I made you choose Tootsie Pop or Charms Blow Pop, which one are you going with? And you can have any flavor of Tootsie Pop you want. Grape, cherry,
chocolate. So are we talking chocolate or bubble gum?
What I mean, yeah. Would you like a Charms Blow Pop or a Tootsie Pop?
Give me a Tootsie Pop.
I'll take the Charms Blow Pop. And that's why this partnership has endured. Everybody gets what they want.
In a world that doesn't exist.
We both get what we want.
In our imaginary world.
In a partnership where we've both just been trampled upon.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
So much fun hanging out with you, Darren. Thanks for doing this with me.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. It's all working out great. I saw on my timeline that today is the 2-year anniversary of me getting canned from iHeartRadio, which ended up being one of the best things that ever happened in my career.
Yeah, you don't want that.
God, that would have been rough. It
would have been a nightmare.
No, this is much better. And thank you, dear listener, for downloading this and subscribing. And now you've got to the end, so you listen to the whole thing. So we say thanks to you. As we also say thanks to our sponsor, Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, the Mylan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Recreational waiting times are available. The list, reserve your time if you go to the website, ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Quitting time, yabba-dabba-doo.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.